The world is holding its breath as tonight, RuPaul will crown America's next drag superstar. Although Jinx Monsoon, the singing sweetheart from Seattle, is this season's most popular goyle, RuPaul might not pick her the winner and instead give the grand prize to Alaska Thunderfuck.
Today we take you on a behind-the-scenes tour of the taping of the season finale, where, like last year, they taped every possible outcome and edited it into one hot, delicious show.
Join us for this and all the hot news! Detox outshines most of the world's top queens with her black and white face makeup.
The Chinese government tries to block any news about their penis-shaped building.
Danish scientists say they might have a cure for AIDS in a matter of months.
And for a brief moment, hackers convinced everyone on Twitter that Justin Bieber is gay.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. Let's just get one thing out of the way, people. If you don't want any spoilers, stop this podcast, walk away from the computer, turn off your iPods, and go take a little nap. Because the internet is going to be screaming the minute they know who wins RuPaul's Drag Race.
You can't wait until Tuesday morning and watch it on Logo TV and think like, oh, I'm gonna find out now.
No, you know? So in Chicago, we are going to watch it live with a bunch of people at our nightclub in our neighborhood called The Call, which used to be called Cattle Call, with one of the fiercest RuPaul's Drag Race video bloggers, Tim Tim. Mm-hmm. What's Tim Tim's full name? It was like
Tim like Yelvington or something.
Tim Jones Yelvington. It's fierce on YouTube, and Tim's actually going to join us after the viewing of the show to do a recap of all the themes and ideas brought up on this season of Drag Race.
And how Alaska was finally able to snatch the crown and win to become America's next drag superstar.
I hope that I can... Oh, wait a minute. That's Sharon Needles.
More Thurston Howell the Third.
I hope that I can win a RuPaul's Drag Race.
So we're going to get into, later in the show, the arguments in for and against all the queens on who is the likely winner. Because right now we have there's four possible outcomes, right? There's Jinx Monsoon,
yes.
Alaska Thunderfuck, hey, and Roxy
Andrews.
That's
not really an alternative because no, she's not going to get it.
Well, it's a possibility. It's always a possibility.
Unless the other two die.
And they might die. You don't know what viciousness Roxy is capable of.
My poison is thick and juicy. Drink it down.
And the fourth outcome.
What?
Which would be a tie between Alaska
They're
and
Jinx. They're not going to have a tie.
We'll talk about it, why it may happen or why it may not, but that's later on the show. We titled this podcast Alaska Wins because we're calling it in favor of Alaska as a hunch.
Yeah, and if she doesn't win, I don't mind having egg on my face because I really like eggs.
And so the following show will be We Told You So,
right.
If Alaska does win, and if Alaska doesn't win and Jinx wins, then we'd be like, whoops.
Jinx Monsoon's Reign of Terror Begins will be the title.
And Sharon Needles' Reign of Terror has come to an end. So
she was a good queen to have for a full year.
I have to say, once in a generation, a drag queen like Sharon Needles comes.
Don't just throw her in the dustbin of old drag queens yet. I think she'll have a long shelf life.
Yeah, there's a lot to talk about regarding Alaska, the Alaska Sharon Needles binary. Like you and me, you know, sometimes when two fierce queens come together, they make even a better. It's like a Transformers. You know,
it's like when Lex Luthor and Brainiac became one.
Yes,
yes, just like that.
I was like, that's a beautiful metaphor, actually. But for you,
Justice League.
Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
Super Friends fans out there. Really fast before we get into the news, Madonna. The rumors of Madonna going from Catholic to Kabbalah to Methodist are lies, ting tong lies.
It stemmed from a website that was like, we're reporting on the news from the future. Because when you told me like she converted to Methodism, I was just like, I know Methodists, and there's no way Madonna is going to become a Methodist. They're boring.
And so far, Madonna has not confirmed or denied the rumors. Well, but there are rumors.
It's come from one website that's like reports news from the future. So some days she's supposedly going to be sitting in a hotel room somewhere and reading like a Methodist Bible, like it's different from another Methodist Bible, and she's going to be converted.
A change of heart, a deathbed conversion.
So it would seem. So no, she's not.
So sorry to disappoint you guys. Madonna's still Jewish. Oy vey.
Have her over for Passover.
And listen and say to her, you know, Madonna.
Esther, have a seat.
Have a seat. Have some gefilte fish.
There's some boiled eggs. Put a little salt on it. You'll like it.
And a little homemade sauerkraut for you, Madonna. And now that we're here, I noticed that your daughter, Lourdes, hasn't had a bat mitzvah. I think it's about time to have one, don't you think?
And the other big rumor.
Justin Bieber.
Is not gay.
Yeah.
So there's a hacker army out there.
Oh, my God.
They hacked E! Entertainment News' Twitter feed and put it out there and said, Justin Bieber's gay. So they quickly were like, what happened? How did this happen?
It was E! Entertainment News' Twitter feed. They were like, I wish that someone would hack our Twitter feed and be like, say all outrageous things. Oh, wait a minute. We already do that.
We don't need hackers to write our jokes.
Yeah. We already say crazy shit. And
they get us in trouble.
Yes. But one thing that's actually is happening right now, Justin Bieber is doing a show in Dubai tonight. And he got attacked on stage.
He did because he was too sexy?
And the security like almost killed the man that like ran up onto the stage to like hug him.
Well, you know, like in those Middle East countries, they really fetishize the, like young men dancing boys, dancing singing boys. And so you have somebody like Justin Bieber who still looks like he's 14, 15 years old come on stage. It must make them go fucking batshit crazy, these old men.
And then after showing up 2 hours late for his second show, blowing away his police escort in a rented Lamborghini and running red lights, hitting up to 240 kilometers an hour on the highway. The Dubai police have had enough, adding to the madness. His bodyguard and one entourage have already been arrested, and Justin Bieber's threatened not to go on unless he's guaranteed that he will be released and his security guards and his people will be released because the sheik's daughter is in the audience.
He's like, you get them out and I will perform. Otherwise, I'm not going on. Is that what he's saying?
That's basically what it is. The Dubai police are confiscating his Lamborghini and more to follow. So stay on the feast of fun gossip train, girl.
Wouldn't that be fun if he was in prison there? That's where Michael Jackson went to hide out, wasn't it?
He did.
Lived in Dubai for a while.
So Justin Bieber is the new Michael Jackson, but opposite. Like, Dubai loved Michael Jackson, hates Justin Bieber. So, there you go.
So, they already filmed the reunion show in the season finale for RuPaul's Drag Race. And so, we got to see pictures from the red carpet, which were lovely. We got to see pictures of Nadia Ginsburg and Devin Green, the people who have come on the show. And, of course, we saw Alaska, Roxy, and Jinx. And they were wearing a red look because I guess they did a dance number.
And I was really worried.
That's not their evening wear look. That's not like they're not going to get crowned in one of those outfits.
I was really worried when I saw Alaska showing up in a bikini.
I know.
I said, that is not drag superstar outfit that you would wear. That was something you would wear to the beach. Well, it turned out it was something for a dance number. So our mole, RuPaul, called us and said that actually all the girls managed to put on some fierce, fabulous outfits. So don't you worry, hunties.
And they look good. And everybody was dying over Detox in black and white from head to toe.
Black and white face.
Yes, black and white face. Yeah, that's black face, black and white. Like she looked like she just stepped out of a black and white movie.
And they actually did that on the TV show Community and in the film Pleasantville, as well as somebody was pointing out that it's actually a technique they did as goes as far back to Wizard of Oz, when Dorothy goes from the black and white world into the world of color. They actually had a stand-in painted her in sepia tone, and then they had her walk into the scene of color, and then they switched her with the real Dorothy,
who was all in vivid color. And the room in the cabin was all painted like in sepia tone color too. That wasn't just the black and white film there.
Isn't that interesting?
So when you see that house land, it's painted like that.
I just love doing this podcast because you find this stuff. One of our listeners posted that on a site.
And it's just infinitely fascinating. Now, with Detox 2, it was also wonderful, too, because she wore, like, these wonderful jewels that did gleam a little bit of color, but they were, like, very muted color, and it was just, like, fantastic.
Now, that little tidbit from The Wizard of Oz comes courtesy of one of our listeners called D4. I just want to do a shout-out to whoever D4 is. But
and all the queens from past years showed up for the reunion show. Bibi Zahra-Benet, Raja, Tyra Sanchez, and Sharon Needles. The interesting thing, though, was... And we got into a little bit of trouble online over this because Bibi Zahra-Benet, they showed her picture and then they had like a different name underneath it
in
the Getty images because they say like who the person is so you can identify them because, you know, people are buying these images and using these images for different things. You want to know who they are. And she was listed as Tommy Brown.
Not Tammy Brown, but Tommy Brown.
And so somebody on Reddit in the RuPaul's section, Reddit, you know, /r RuPaul's Drag Race, posted that photo and said, oh, the shade of it all, because they got her name wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And then I flippantly said to Fausto, I said, that's her slave name. Because, like, you know, it's
like Muhammad Ali.
Like Muhammad Ali or the 60s or 70s. People always would say that, like, I changed my name because that's my slave name, you know? Because, like, Bibi Zahra-Benet is, like, some kind of crazy
and
name.
And let's just, for the record, Bibi Zahra-Benet is not her real name either.
No.
So
I forget what it is. I think when we talked to her, she did tell us what it was, but I don't remember exactly.
And that's a common thing that a lot of people would joke about or actually talk about in the decades past in the 70s and 80s that, you know, they needed to take ownership of a new name because mm-hmm. they felt that their original name had too much of a negative history
right.
associated
And now
with
like
it.
Like trans folk often use to say my government name, you know, mm-hmm. the name that the government uses, but not my real name. So I just thought it was funny. You thought it was funny. You posted it. But boy, did people not think it was funny.
Yeah. Well, you know, about 55 people downvoted it, uh-huh. which is like a record for RuPaul's Drag Race because it's all full of love and everything. And then about 33 people upvoted it.
So some people laughed and thought it was
funny. Yeah. So that would be like, I guess it would be 50%. What is it? If you divide it into three, so 66% disliked it and 33% liked it, more or less.
More or less. And so,
two-thirds.
But I also, too, I wonder, is like, because, you know, the people on Reddit, a lot of them are in the UK, so do they get American sense of humor? Is it funny? I want to hear from the listeners. I thought it was funny. I want to know, do you think it's funny? I actually wrote to some people, and I was just like, I'm going to call you tonight and see if you think this is funny or not.
Are we going to be calling them?
I don't know. Is it too late?
We could call them at any time, you know.
I know, but it's
They
so
may
late.
Not answer, but you know, we can do that.
Do you want to call them?
Yeah, let's All call right. them.
Hello?
Hi, is this Paris?
Yes.
Hi, hunty. It's me, Fausto Fernos.
And me, Mark
hey,
Killian.
Hey, how are you?
It really is us. It's not your friends pretending to be us calling you. Although, how would you know, though, right? I guess
right.
we could be like pranking. We could be your friends pranking you. You're like a diehard listener. You've been listening for years, right?
Right. Nice to hear from you.
It was bound to happen. Well, I saw that you sent me a lovely picture of you in Alaska Thunderfuck, and I thought it was a great photo. And who do you think is going to win RuPaul's Drag Race?
I'm going to say it's going to be Alaska.
Why do you think so?
I think it's the last couple episodes she kind of jumped out in front and showed her talent.
Yeah.
Is it enough, though, to sway people, though? Because I think I wonder if she didn't get that momentum in the beginning that...
It's a little too late.
But, you know, it's always, you know, that finish line is always there. So, did you see any of the pictures from the red carpet at all?
I've seen a couple.
So, you've seen, like, the detox, the black and white?
Yes, I saw that one.
Okay. And did you see the one with Bibi Zahra-Benet?
I have not seen
Okay,
that
so they had a picture of her on Getty Images, and it was Bibi Zahra-Benet, and, you know, it was obviously her. And then underneath, they got her name wrong, and they called her Tommy Brown.
Oh, my God.
And so everybody, you're familiar with a website named Reddit, right? You know,
yes.
Reddit. So Reddit, you know, the RuPaul's Drag Race. Somebody posted the picture of Bibi Zahra-Benet and said, oh, the shade of it all, you know, calling her Tommy Brown. And then I flippantly said to Fausto, I said, that's her slave name. And so
wow.
And so then he posted it. Uh-huh. And the people were not having
Oh, honey, the shit hit the fan.
I'm sure it did.
They were not having it.
Yeah, I thought it was funny.
Okay. And it's funny because, like, we were trying to explain, because I think a lot of these people on Reddit are in the UK or other places, or maybe they're just not old enough to understand that reference.
Now, just right. be warned here that you're speaking for all black people in the world.
You represent the NAACP right now.
RuPaul.
United Negro College Fund. All of them.
A wig is a terrible thing to waste. I mean, a mind. Right. A mind. Paris, do you mind me asking you, how old are you?
I'm 23.
So you're a young guy, and some people criticize a lot of young LGBT folks. I assume you're also gay, too.
Yes, you're correct.
And it's like, some people criticize young people is that they feel that they're very binary, that everything's cut in one way or in another. You know, there's no nuance.
Right.
And, you know, what I said to them is like, listen, you know, we live in a world that is full of discrimination and hatred and bigotry, and some people use humor as a way of coping with it. We're trying to make fun of the photographer who is, you know, who's probably some person who was...
Let's say he's racist.
Well, no, he just, you know, somebody was paid very little money to be there. He doesn't really care about the drag queens, obviously, and because anybody would know that it's Bibi Zarabaneh, you know, and he, or some poor person quickly typing these things just went, oh, you know, made a typo, and the rest is... happened. I don't know. Am I a racist person?
No, I don't think so.
Because other people are like, I've listened to that show in the past, and they said some really, truly awful things. I was just like, what?
But am I a dick to be like asking the one black listener that we have?
That is so not true.
That's not true, actually.
It's not true. I just thought of you because, well, because you're black, but also because you sent me a photo of you in Alaska, and I thought you guys looked really fucking fantastic together.
Well, thank you.
What's been the highlight of the show for you this season? I mean, I'm not talking about our podcast. I'm talking about Drag Race.
Well, I had, like, Jinx and Alaska just doing their own style. And they just seem like really great performers.
Yeah.
I like their sense of humor.
And your opinion of Roxy?
She's this season's Fifi, for sure.
Does she deserve the hate that she's getting?
I don't think so.
And why not?
I mean, it's a show after all, but
she might be poisoning those girls' well water, you know?
Probably so.
She may be fracking things up.
I wouldn't put it past her.
You don't know.
I did get to see her in Orlando, though. So
you did? What did you think about her?
She didn't seem all that evil.
Was she nice and thick and juicy? I gotta say, of all the things that all the drag queens have said this season, my favorite was Roxy's thick and juicy over and over and over again. Okay, we get it. You're fat and fabulous, girl. You're delicious. We get it.
Well, Paris, we'll see who will win. We'll see.
Yes, we will.
Well, we're gonna continue on with the show here and tell people we're gonna give them the behind the scenes of the reunion show.
And and for coming on the show and being our one black friend, we're going to send you a Feast of Fun Hunty t-shirt if you haven't bought one already yet.
Oh, my God. Thank you.
So email us your mailing address, and it's in the mail, Hunty.
Hunty.
Okay. Hunty. Well, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for laughing at our joke.
Yeah. It would have been, I'm pissed off. I'm hanging up right now.
But see, he knows us, so he can take it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bye, Paris.
We love you, Paris.
Have a good night.
Bye.
Paris is burning.
Paris is where do you live, Paris?
I live in Mobile, Alabama.
That's
one of the shittiest places in the world to live, isn't it?
I like Mobile.
Yes.
I think it was rated as like number one shittiest place to live, but
you know what? You're close to Florida and you're close to Texas and you're close to like, so you're just like a car trip pretty much anywhere you want to.
All my best friends live in Florida.
Do you drive to Florida pretty often and stuff?
Yes. Every weekend.
Where do you go?
Pensacola, and we actually went to Orlando for vacation. So.
Oh, sucks to be you.
Yeah.
You know, as much as people may say, like, Mobile, Alabama is, like, you know, shitty, but it's like, you guys have much better weather than Chicago, so.
That's what I hear.
Lots of hugs and kisses to you, Paris. It was great to talk to you.
Same to you guys.
Bye, Paris.
Bye.
Bye.
See, I knew he'd think it was funny.
He did.
He did think
I thought
funny.
We were going to lose a listener.
No.
You know,
it's
as a
funny joke.
I'm a performer. I'm a drag queen with an unusual name, Fausto Fernos.
Yeah.
And the media throughout my life has messed up my name all the time.
And, you know, and I used to joke about it and be like, oh, that's my stripper name. Or I used to say that was like, you know, that's my white person's name or my American name or whatever. Because they would take a Fausto Furnace and they would like Foster Furnace. Because in their brains, they can't comprehend of anything other than these like British names or Irish names, you know. And so if you have a name that's unusual, and if you're going to be a performer, you just kind of have to get used to sometimes just the media messing up your name.
And turn it into an asset, that's for sure.
Yeah. I mean, who's the most famous? Miguel Dindigago Cello? I don't even know how to pronounce her name. Yeah, that one. The soul singer who was signed onto Maverick Records. Michelle Nigello Cello.
Who dat?
She was like a popular lesbian singer in the like 90s.
Okay, and what about her?
Well, she had a tricky name and people mess it up all the time.
But you remembered it.
Yeah, and sometimes when you have an unusual name, like Bibi Zarabanay, people will remember. Mm-hmm.
And you can always do like little things to remember. I used to work with this girl named Orlantha, and I could never...
Orlantha,
and I could never remember how to say her name because it was just so unusual. And then my friend that I worked with, Mark, he says, I always think it like this, is my doctor says Orlantha, because they used to have that commercial. My doctor says Mylantha. And so it was like...
Orlantha.
When people have an unusual name, you just have to somehow in your mind... remember how to say it.
I like unusual names. I wish everybody would just like every single time a baby was born, the parents were challenged to have to come up with an unusual name.
It would be awful.
Yeah, no, I think it's awesome. Mm-hmm. You know, and listen, there's not that many people in the world with Fausto or Orlantha or Bibi Zarabanay. Well, except for, what is it? John Benet Ramsey.
Well, but she's not using that name much
anymore.
Yeah,
so.
No.
So there you go.
So the reunion show, RuPaul called you up and told you what happened.
RuPaul said that they tried to explain why she says Ivy Winters' name like that. Mm-hmm. Ivy Winters! We always thought, and we asked Michelle Visage, and that was based on how LaToya Jackson said somebody's name in a telethon, but she didn't know who it was. We thought it was Jonathan Winters.
Since
Jonathan Winters was a famous comedian at the time period of the 80s, you know, around when RuPaul was forming her young drag self, and thought it'd be really fun to sort of pay tribute to that. It turned out it was the keyboardist on Ringo Starr's band who was performing in a telethon, the LaToya Jackson kept messing up his name. Mm-hmm. And so in the telethon, LaToya would say, Edgar Winters. And RuPaul, during the reunion show, tried to get her to say it, and LaToya would just say, Edgar Winters.
Edgar Winters.
How do you say it, LaToya?
Edgar Winters. No, make it like a show person. Edgar Winters.
Edgar Winters.
So it might not even get used.
It might not even make it on the air, but that's actually what happened. Mm-hmm. And so RuPaul was just like, I'm not talking to LaToya. I'm pissed off at her.
Maybe they'll sweeten it up, though, in post-production. They'll be like, girl, you need to get in there and you need to go, Edgar Winters. And she's like, oh, what? Well, she's trying to sell her TV show Life with...
Honey, it's like every single person that works for LaToya Jackson earns every single penny. I actually watched that, and basically LaToya's life, she's a bigger germaphobe than Michael Jackson was.
Really?
So she literally has to cover everything in blankets.
When she goes to like a hotel room?
Yeah, and sanitize. She has her staff clean the bathroom for her so she can take a shit in peace.
Like, oh, wow. Well, I can imagine because, you know, some of those hotel rooms... they don't always wash those top comforters, you know. They never wash them, really. They wash them every now and then. And then those couches, God only knows what happens on those couches or those chairs. People sit on them butt naked. So, of course, you know, if you've got the time and the money.
If you eat out, chances are there's snot and rat feces and hairs and on the food that you're eating. And LaToya Jackson pretty much lives out of a hotel and a restaurant. So, you know, for her to be... paranoid about germs is kind of unnecessary, and probably is an emotional thing that's happening there too. So hopefully, you know, in Life with LaToya, we'll actually see her analyze and grow as a person. But you know, chances are these rich celebrity reality TV shows are just promotion for them and not really like helping anybody.
There's not going to be much content. Yeah. We'll see though. Listen, if the Braxtons can have a TV show, LaToya can have a TV show.
Alec Mappa was the warm up act. And when he showed up in drag, comedian Alec Mappa, you might remember him from Ugly Betty. And when he walked onto the stage, he said, "I am not Agina. Mm-hmm. I'm not Manila Luzon." And he just started
rattling. I'm not Vivian Panay.
He started rattling all the, what is it?
The Asian queens.
Filipino drag queens, mm-hmm. which for some reason, there are a lot of them.
You know, well, there's a lot of Filipino drag queens because, you know, it's part of their culture. You know, Waray, Waray.
Indeed, Tatokas. The women of Waray Waray were warriors who dressed up as women to defeat the invaders. And it's an actual children's song in the Philippines.
And they do very well because, you know, when they dress up in drag, they can really, really pass for fish.
And warriors. Should we give away who won Miss Congeniality?
I don't think we should. I think that's not really something because you want people to be surprised. But it's not going to be really any big surprise. It's the one that...
I thought it was going to be Alyssa Edwards.
Oh, you did?
It's not Alyssa Edwards.
No, Miss Congeniality always goes to the nice one. The people that people think is nice that maybe didn't get the fair shake, like Pandora Box and Nina Flowers.
It's not Detox.
No, it's not
Detox. So now you know who it is. Okay, who wore the crown best? Because they actually crowned them, all of them, in a row. RuPaul said that Jinx walked down the aisle the best.
Mm-hmm.
Roxy, for being a pageant queen, interestingly enough, walked very awkward and not smooth and almost like tripped on her heel.
And she also apologized for being such a bitch
again
on the show. And I guess it was like half a, she didn't take anything back, but she was just kind of like, sorry, it was strategy. And I'm like, of course we know it was strategy, because really, how far would Roxy have gotten if she didn't really kind of like play hard and be a drama queen? And so for that, I really just give her a lot of credit, because I'm like, you made it this far on the show because you knew the only way you could do it is being a high-riding bitch, and sometimes that's all a drag queen has to hold on to.
Roxy also said that she was afraid and very intimidated by all the queens, and that's why she was lashing out against them.
Mm-hmm. Well, because she knew very early on that, like, something's up with this Jinx. You know what I mean? Because you just never know what happens behind the scenes. You might see a producer talking. You might hear something. You're just like, oh, this is the one to watch out for. Oh.
But you really can't control what the producers are going to do. So all you can do, future drag queens and contestants on Drag Race, is, you know, fearlessly be yourself. I mean, spend a lot of time developing a story for yourself, catchphrases. Like Alaska's, hey, everybody's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the stupidest thing in the world.
Hi.
I think it's really dumb, but it, you know, even I'm doing it. Mm-hmm. I love it. Hey.
Hi.
I mean, it's like herpes. It's contagious. Everybody's doing it. So Alyssa Edwards is having a new reality TV show, and Dance Moms teacher was there. So it seems like it's going to be like Dance Moms, but with Alyssa Edwards in a trailer park. Sounds amazing.
I always thought like Dance Moms should definitely have more gay characters on that show, you know, because it's like they have all those moms and like the kids, but you'd think that they'd have like, you know, like these competitions that they'd be up against like the, you know, the gays, but you don't really see it that much.
How high was Raja? Very high. RuPaul said that she, out of the corner of her eye, she saw lots of the girls sneaking to get cocktails in the bathroom.
Oh, they serve cocktails in the bathroom now.
No, they didn't, but you know what I mean.
Well, people were there for a long time. So you might want to take a little nap. So you got.
And speaking of, you know, the cocktail achieving generation, Sharon Needles showed up looking like a Pee Wee Herman in drag, paying tribute to Paul Rubin's character.
Mm-hmm. Which her boyfriend on the show paid tribute to, too, in the RuPaul's Best Friend Race.
Now, Santino's abs, pictures of Santino's abs are making the rounds on the internet. It is frightening. I don't know which is worse, Perez Hilton's, you know, muscular transformation or Santino's questionable muscular transpatino.
You think there's a little Photoshop going on there?
I think that if you look at zoom in on the picture, there's definitely some contouring happening there. But, you know, it's like, I just don't quite know why he would do that. But then again,
everybody wants to get laid. He probably is like, let me put this out there. I want people to know that I got some six pack abs. Because for some people, that's their target zone. They're like, if somebody has six pack abs, I'll sleep with them. It doesn't matter what else is going on there.
Now, RuPaul approached Santino during before the show was taped and asked them, why don't you actually help the girls sew.
RuPaul asked Santino this,
and Santino said to RuPaul, and then RuPaul said to us, it's not because Santino doesn't want to. In fact, Santino would love to help the girls with sewing challenges. It's because the producers want to portray him as the bad guy against his wishes and the wishes of RuPaul and the
and
rest
see,
of
you've
the
been
show.
Hating him all these years when in actuality he's a real nice guy. See?
See?
Editing.
Editing is editing. Is the real enemy. and of course, RuPaul said it was great to see RuPaul with a live audience. And it's going to be wonderful. There's this elaborate musical number at the very beginning with all the girls and a bunch of like hot male dancers all bumping and grinding. It's very slick and fantastic.
I can't wait to touch myself while watching that.
Now, today's show is called Alaska Wins, because we are calling it for Alaska, but don't hate us, because I think the majority of our audience and the majority of the people on the internet are actually rooting for Jinx Monsoon to win. So we're going to go right now, point by point, and talk about the case for Alaska, the case for Jinx Monsoon, the case for Roxy Andrews, and the case for a tie. And you can decide for yourself, who do you think is going to be the likely outcome after we go through this? So first of all, let's talk about the speech.
The speeches that they gave at the final show.
In the final show, I call it the $100,000 speech, because that speech defined them as people. It turned the tables around for Alaska, and it gave us a good reason why not to be rooting for Jinx. So first of all, let's talk about Roxy Andrews' speech, which was basically a saying, I'm not going to disappoint you. I think it's time to have a thick and juicy girl.
Thick and juicy, yay.
And Jinx, I'm so sorry that I was such an evil cunt to you, okay? Love you. Mm-hmm. I love you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's like basically like what an abusive husband does to his wife, like beats her and then says, I love you. That's what Ike Turner said to Tina Turner many times.
But now that was, you paraphrased Roxy's speech, but you actually transcribed Jinx's and Alaska's speech.
And I think it's important to hear them out of context.
Okay.
And I'm going to read these to you.
Okay.
And I'm going to read them to you differently. I'm going to read them to you with the meaning behind them, as opposed to the way the artists actually said it.
I don't know what that means.
Meaning, here's Jinx's speech, word for word. Growing up, I was continually an outcast, and in my teen years, I discovered drag. So even though I was hurting at home, I was living on stage. My whole life, I've danced to the beat of a different drum. And when I came here, I took the critiques, and I was able to adapt and grow while still being true to who I am as a performer. Anything else is just water off a duck's back. Here's Alaska.
Okay.
My name is Alaska, and I am hungry to be America's next drag superstar. Not hungry, I'm practically starving. And for my fellow competitors, tonight, Roxy was faced with a challenge of presenting a 16-year-old girl. What did she present? A tawdry 27-year-old tramp. And Jinx Monsoon. During the Sugar Ball, she failed not just one, not just two, but three different looks. I am the queen who takes the tragic and turns it into magic. I take trash and turn it into treasure. And having never fallen into the bottom two, I am Alaska and I am America's next drag superstar.
Yay.
And the audience burst into applause.
I don't know if it's enough to she didn't get that momentum early on.
Jinx's speech is feeling sorry for yourself, portraying yourself as a victim, which is not what we look for in a drag queen.
No.
Maybe in an It Gets Better video.
Yes.
Fantastically. But in a drag queen, we need a hero. We need a superhero. We need somebody who is going to use that lasso. What is the Wonder Woman's lasso? It has a name, the golden lasso, to tie the villains and force them to do things. You know, there's a reason why RuPaul, one of her first appearances, political appearances as RuPaul in the March on Washington, she dressed up as Wonder Woman. And I think RuPaul is inspired and looks for strong, powerful drag queens who are going to rule loving but iron fist.
And Jinx has a different kind of strength. She has a kind of like that confidence. Is like, listen, I've overcome adversity. I've done different things, and here I am. I'm happy with who I am.
So also, if Alaska won, World of Wonder and Logo could start working around the whole concept of a royal couple with Sharon Needles.
Mm-hmm.
They could extend Sharon Needles' cloud of interest into this year and ongoing. So, you know, considering the fact that Sharon Needles has more likes on Facebook than the top three combined, says a lot.
That does say a lot. Sharon really spoke to people more so than this next generation did.
So Sharon Needles has 150,000 likes. Alaska has 56. Jinx has 66. So the difference between the top two is just 10,000 likes. And then Roxy has a paltry 21,000 likes. Well, where are my people at?
I like
not
her
on
too.
The internet.
You'd think Sharon would be like telling some of her people, like, go like her page. But although I don't really think 10,000 is that much of a difference in likes, you know, mm-hmm. what I mean? As long as once you get 50,000, you're probably golden. Now, for the premiere of this season, I believe for RuPaul's Drag Race, it was something like 500,000 people watched.
So the fact that half a million people, and of those on Facebook, only...
So 10% actually like Alaska, 12% like Jinx, and not that much like Roxy. I'm not going to do the math for that one.
Also, the case for Alaska is nobody's going to tell RuPaul what to do. And even though, obviously, Jinx is the most popular of the top three on Twitter, Tumblr, and Facebook, it's still going to be up to RuPaul and the producers of World of Wonder and Absolute to decide who the winner is going to be. What is going to be best for them?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Jinx, that in the case for Jinx, actually, that's actually going to be working in her favor if Absolute's going to make a decision, because she's more media friendly. She's more mainstream. She's more elegant, I would say, than Alaska is. Alaska's punk, whereas Jinx is showbiz,
mm-hmm.
theater.
But what takes place in the bar and what takes place in the theater?
So they might want somebody who's more bar drag queen than theater drag queen.
I also feel as though, do you kind of get the sense, though, that last year is that maybe Rue is more leaning towards Chad winning, but because the public outcry in favor of Sharon was so overwhelming, there is just no way she could have said no to that. And that maybe she's just like, okay, I did that last year. I'm not going to do it again this year.
Alaska was both visually stunning and she-larious. She didn't lose any of the challenges, and part of it is really because she was really good.
Mm.
All of RuPaul's peers and friends, Shishi LaRue, Lady Bunny, all the girls from Wakestock,
Lady Gaga
are all rooting and are Team Alaska. So it's interesting, the unwashed masses that RuPaul likes to call the unwashed masses are rooting for Jinx. The elite friends
like us,
like you know, the circle of friends with RuPaul are rooting for Alaska. Now here's the case for Jinx. Jinx has been working in theater as a drag queen, does a fierce head wig. So she would definitely extend the drag race market into new audiences.
Mm-hmm.
She definitely works the anti-bullying angle as portraying herself as the underdog and embracing that. She is the youngest of the three girls. She grew as an artist during the series more than anybody else.
Did she grow as an artist, or did she grow in the terms of like, I can fix my makeup now a little bit better?
I think she grew as an artist. I think as a performer and as a person.
But she was such a phenomenal performer before.
So I think she actually grew more than the other two. Do you disagree with that? Or?
Oh, more than the other two, if you're comparing the two. Yeah, because I don't think Roxy
really
grew at
all. Well, that's the point of this exercise here.
All right.
Last year's winner was the most retweeted girl. This year's winner would, if Jinx won, it would follow that.
Mm-hmm.
She did a fabulous rendition of Ima Sumac's Malambo Number 1.
Well, we never got to see Alaska's because Alaska never had to lip sync.
That's right.
Until the end.
Now, and also Jinx does not have three X's like Roxy or the word fuck in her name. She mm-hmm. has a name that Google censors won't shut down.
Yes.
have you noticed we have to like put stars under fuck and Alaska Thunder fuck, and also we can't use the name because it fucks everything up.
I can say fuck all I want on the podcast, but you just can't write it down. It's
now,
crazy world.
Another interesting thing is that people have told us that they stop watching the show when their favorite drag queen is gone. They've said it about Willem and Pandora Box.
Yeah, our guest last week, yeah. Robin said that she's like, I stopped watching like when Pandora Box was eliminated. I'm like, okay, well, you watched her because you were her friend, so you support her, but then you must not love just drag by itself, because otherwise you would still watch.
Now, the case for Roxy.
Mm-hmm. Thick and juicy, girls. Thick and juicy.
Best catchphrase of the season, mm-hmm. by far. She carries the spirit of Bob Mackie in her veins. She's a... next to Ivy Winters, she's the strongest costumer mm-hmm. of the top three.
She can sew and she can hot glue gun candy to a dress.
She's a Latina girl. A Latina girl's never won RuPaul's mm-hmm. Drag Race. So that would be a first. She is a pageant girl. A pageant girl's never won. Well, Bibi Zahra-Benet qualifies as a pageant girl.
She's a model person.
She did a lot of the pageants, so technically that wouldn't be... But she's more of a pageant girl than I would say Bibi Zahra-Benet is.
I don't remember anything about that in her bio.
Now, don't think that Roxy's out of the play, because RuPaul has picked unpopular girls to win before. Remember Tyra Sanchez.
Well, yeah, but the thing is with Tyra, though, is she really kissed Tyra's ass the whole season. It was just like, you look really great. You look stunning. You did really well on that. And we were all like, huh?
And maybe that's because RuPaul loves to fuck with people. Mm-hmm. And so she would pick Roxy just for the lols.
People would be outraged. Then people would stop watching.
People were outraged when Tyra Sanchez was chosen. I mean, they were pissed off about that.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, the fourth solution is that it be a tie. This is the case why it won't be a tie.
Well, because they're not going to want to split the $100,000. And is that part of the rules that there could be a tie?
Well, the number one reason is no tie option was filmed. So they would have to like Photoshop them onto the stage together or just do like a split screen. But the fun of having them both win and hugging them on the stage together, having some emotional moment, would be gone. So they haven't filmed that. It's not going to happen. They were, you know, Jinx and Alaska's fans were been too mean to Roxy. It would be mean to Roxy to do as a tie. It would alienate her from the top three even more. Mm. And a lot of people are saying that Detox should win with that black and white look.
It was one look. Come on, folks.
They said, it's all it takes is one great moment in time to outshine the world. And Detox seems like she did it with her black and white look.
Well, I wonder if we ever get her in the home studio, we do a cooking with drag queen things. Maybe we can do black and white with her.
Yeah, and see who wore it best. And, you know, and last but not least, I don't think Alaska and Jinx would want it to be a tie either. Because, you know, I think it's better to win or to lose than to have that limbo of a tie.
Whereas, like Alyssa Edwards and Coco Montrese almost, like, was a tie in a certain kind of way because they both had that same title.
But Coco beat Alyssa.
She did.
In the lip sync for their life. And I think for both of them, it was kind of a nice closure.
But who has the reality TV show now?
Alyssa.
Mm-hmm. And where is Coco?
I don't know.
She's in Las Vegas.
Well, that is that a bad thing or a good thing?
It's a good thing, but it's not on TV, is it?
No. So there you go. And that is now, after looking back at all that information, which I think is pretty, you know, pretty obvious to me that Alaska should win. So on Tuesday's show, if Alaska's win, we'll say we told you so. And if Jinx win, we say, oh, whoops.
Whoopsie daisy. Rue chickened out.
Well, she didn't chicken out. She, you know, for she knows ultimately what's best for the show and for the franchise, and
is
going to pick who she wants to win. And I think either way, America's going to have a fantastic drag superstar. We're all winners, except for the person who loses.
Except we have to wait almost another year to see it.
Yeah.
So people are chiming in on Facebook. Morgan McCobb says, I want Alaska to win. I think Jinx will win. I love them both. Can't go wrong either way. That seems to be a very common sentiment that people are just like, I'm happy either way.
Well, it's the hard thing about having these kind of shows where it's
somebody has to win and somebody has to lose. You know, and to me, it's like the most interesting reality TV shows is more when you when it's focusing on the interaction between the contestants and not who wins and who loses these challenges. Mm-hmm.
Corey Bass says, I'm not holding my breath. Jinx is going to win by a landslide. Alaska managed to get herself a surprisingly solid following, but us Team Alaska folks like me have nothing on Jinx's massive, rabid, vicious fan base. Alaska wins, rioting in the streets. Roxy wins, RuPaul actually literally gets assassinated. Jinx will be the winner. Wake me up when it's season six.
Mike Money says, Jinx, Team Jinx, she's talented, humble, funny, and gorgeous when she's done up. I loved Alaska, but she doesn't have half the talent Jinx does. Sorry, Miss Thunderfuck.
Morgan McCobb says, I wish I understood Jinx's fan base. I adore Jinx, but her fans are quite, what's the proper word? Displeasing, I suppose. Hate Roxy for being a bitch, then turn around and act the same way. I'm just proud Alaska was able to take a name for herself and prove to everyone she's not just a bad version of Sharon.
Yeah, the people who are fans of Alaska, to me, are the kind of... I mean, I'm a fan of Jinx, too, you know? But to me, it's like, who would you want to hang out with more? It's like, I got to tell you, we've hung out with Alaska and Sharon Needles and with Jinx, and it's fun with any of those girls, but it's a roller coaster with Alaska and Sharon. Yeah.
Without a doubt. Corey Bass writes, the really bad part is I like Jinx so much less now because of her fans. It isn't fair. It isn't her fault. But that's how it has impacted me. I'm extremely proud of Alaska's work and I look forward to her coming success. But the fact that she isn't getting the crown is unsettling me.
Well, you know who I blame for that?
Hmm.
Dan Savage.
Why?
It's just this whole, you know, I think It Gets Better has been great for drawing attention to the condition of young people, especially in our public school system. But at the same time, it's brought about this whole notion of victim culture as a way of gaining attention. And it bothers me. Like, here's an example. Like, Jinx doesn't need to be a victim. She can be a strong, triumphant drag queen, and she is a strong, triumphant drag queen. But in her speech, she decided to focus on water off a duck's back and find, you know, these kind of like weak statements about discovering herself. And
I want empowerment.
Yeah, it's
I want
like
fierce.
You know, you need to be doing the assignment. You were supposed to say why the other two were not good enough and why you were great to be the winner, because that's what we look for in a drag queen. We want strength.
So some people are worried that we're going to spoil things and say, please don't spoil this in photos or headline tomorrow. Some people won't see it immediately. And we're not going to have it up until like 1 o'clock in the morning anyway, probably, or midnight at the earliest.
Oh, you mean our final show?
Yeah, so
listen, you know, again, turn off the internet. Don't until you see RuPaul's Drag Race. Don't listen to this podcast. Don't listen to any podcast related to RuPaul's Drag Race. Don't, you know, turn on CNN because they're going to stop covering the Boston Marathon bombers and focus on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah.
As they should.
Right. And so just stay off the Facebook because people are going to be on there. Don't get mad. Like Corey Bass says, it is not everyone else's job to cater to your schedule. Go read a book. Write a manifesto. Yeah. Start a revolution.
Paint a painting. Seriously. Well, let's talk about the Dong. The Chinese government is trying to block any news about their penis-shaped building.
Well, what's funny, that penis-shaped building is like the headquarters for their news.
It is that, the news headquarters.
That's the news. That's the state-run news headquarters. And so it looks like a giant penis. It's just, it's tall. It's kind of got like a curve to it. It's like, you know, just it just looks like a giant dong.
And more so than other skyscrapers.
Right.
Feminist theorists say that all skyscrapers are an extension of the male penis, but this one actually is shaped, you know, and really I think the worst thing about it is that they have these two geodesic domes on the base of it.
Well, and so they're just censoring, because, you know, they have that Chinese Twitter system over there too, and they're censoring like any kind of comment about it looking like a penis from there too. It's just like, let people celebrate it.
Let the people have their penis building China.
They're going to be hungry for a new building of penis like an hour later anyway, so why not?
Danish scientists are saying they have a cure for HIV just months away, but people are saying, well, they're going to have the study, the conclusion, the findings of the study announced in several months, not a cure, so We shall see. But they're actually doing an interesting new technique that involves flushing the virus from reservoirs in human DNA.
So it hangs out in our DNA?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's how, you know, where HIV, how it replicates. It goes into the cells and it buries itself into the DNA. And so the cells become HIV manufacturing machines and compromises the immune system that way. And so this new approach is looking at the way of actually finding the cells that are infected and flushing them to allowing the body's own immune system to attack the HIV infected cells. So we shall see if it's effective. And it, at the very least, it'll be a very effective treatment or lead towards better treatment.
And that's why, like, I looked at that headline and I kind of like went by it because it was just like in one news article. And I was just like, unless this is on the front page of everywhere, it's like it's hard for me to pay attention to those things because you always feel it's like there's always a headline right around the corner that says scientists find cure for AIDS. And then you read the article and it's like, no, they didn't really find a cure for AIDS. They found like what could be a cure for AIDS.
Well, and all diseases are cured slowly or, you know, through progressive discovery. And that's what the nature of science and medical research is that you don't know what you're going to get from that research. And even if the research leads to negative results, you still know. It's still a form of knowledge. And this is what's really disturbing is that the U.S. government right now, the Congress is trying to change the way scientific funding for research is being done and trying to turn it into only sure bets.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, how are you going to be able to fund something if you don't know it? If you don't know its outcome, what's the point of funding it?
Well, because you got to figure something out.
And this is why you have the NSA, the National Science Academy, I believe. I'm not sure the A stands for, but they scientists deciding what's going to be funded as opposed to politicians deciding that. So
you get it there. So in the UK, there was a dog. The police raided this home and they brought a dog with it because I think they were like looking for drugs or something like that. And in the process of searching the home, the dog knocked over a hamster cage and the hamster fell out. And then the dog ate the hamster and swallowed it. And then it was so they were like, what's going on? And so I guess the trainer was just like somehow forced him to spit the hamster back up. But unfortunately, the hamster died.
You know what happened to the alleged drug dealer?
What?
The police charge him with animal cruelty.
Isn't that weird?
Even though their dog killed his hamster, they found some bird that was stressed out in the apartment, and then they charged him for animal cruelty that way.
Because the bird was like close to a radiator and a TV in the room where an old cat had been. So there was like this bird has been like around
stressed
the cat
out.
And stressed out. But yes, so but he, you know, he didn't kill his hamster.
I know. So is the you know the police or the dog going to be charged as well?
No, I'm sure they'll get scot-free. There was this next article that happened like a few years ago, but I just came across it today. And I just thought it was very interesting. So these two brothers were caught and they're in the back of a police car. And so they're sitting there and one of them, he had drugs, cocaine up his butt, like in his butt crack. He was hiding it there. I don't think it was like up his anus, but like in the butt crack. And so he didn't want to get in trouble because he's already had some record. And so he said to his brother, like, we got to get rid of it. Eat it. Just eat it so that, you know, because maybe we'll both get off then or we'll get out of this somehow. And so the brother ate it. And then within an hour, he died. So that's a lesson for you folks out there. Do not eat cocaine.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, snort it instead.
Snort it instead or smoke it or do whatever it is you have to do. But, I mean, don't eat it because then you die.
It'll make a hole in your stomach.
But the title of like the title of the article was like, "Man eats cocaine out of brother's butt," and I was just like, "I gotta read this one."
It was not
as sexy as you would think.
Pictures are going around the internet of Mama June's hillbilly dream wedding to Sugar Bear. You might remember those two fabulous people as characters in the reality TV show Here Comes Honey Boo Boo.
So she wore a camouflage dress with yellow or orange accents. And the men wore camouflage pants with like orange vests.
Man.
They
rode an all-terrain vehicle as part of the wedding. And Honey Boo Boo Child wore this like pink and orange day glow pageant dress.
I'm worried about her weight. She seems to be getting a little heavier.
Well, you know, when you got big parents, you're going to be a big kid.
That's true.
You know, listen, you don't know what her future holds, and hopefully she'll have a healthy and productive life. So I'm rooting for Honey Boo Boo. I think they'll be okay.
I think in 20 years, we're all going to be like, we all knew it would come to this.
But you know, the most adorable, and there's like pictures all over the internet of the wedding. The most adorable thing is the dog.
Mm.
That little dog dressed up in a little dress going around barking at people at the wedding. It's just fantastic. So shout out to you all, y'all redneckanize.
Later this week, we're talking to Prince Manvendra, the first and I guess only openly gay crown prince of India.
He's not just a openly gay prince. He's a crown prince.
Right.
He actually holds a title and he actually rules with a lavender glove.
So we had him in the home studio. He was here in Chicago doing a fundraiser and he came by and we got to talk about like what's new with him and hanging with Oprah and what else did we learn from him about the Oprah?
Well, the thing about him with Oprah, it's with Oprah is that his sort of rise to fame has been helped a lot by Oprah.
Mm-hmm.
And gay LGBT civil rights in India has been tremendously helped by the Oprah Winfrey Show and giving him coverage and giving him, you know, the political leverage to actually influence policy, which is really a remarkable, extraordinary thing. So we were asking him, what was it like, you know, hanging out with Oprah the second time around, after, you know, because he taped our show last time here. And he said, Oprah's hand. And listen, this is between you and us. So don't go talking about this. Don't blog about this. He said to us in confidence, and we're just giving you the tea, some tea, no shade. He said, oh, Oprah squeezed my hands so tight. It started hurting me.
Her hands are so rough. He said they were they felt rough.
They felt really rough.
So she had a strong handshake, and she probably doesn't moisturize.
He said, "You're hurting me, Oprah, please." And he said, "You know, he's
delicate,
delicate, lithe child mm-hmm. of the a rainbow child." Mm-hmm. And so, you know, he turned to Oprah and said, "Well, you know, what's up with your hands?" And what did Oprah say?
She said, "I was molested as a child.
That's why my hands are so rough."
I mean, she talks about being molested yeah. as a child. And, you know, she's written about it and talked about it openly on the show. But I just think it's kind of like, I'm like questioning him, like, is that how the conversation really commenced? Like, you just said, I have rough hands. And she said, I was molested as a child.
And they're probably just whispering to this to each other yeah. as the show's about to go on.
Right.
And, you know, you can imagine the prince is, because if you watch that segment, you can see the prince kind of going, what's up with this crazy woman, you know?
No.
There's a little bit of that. It's like, told me she got raped as a child.
That happened after.
Was it after?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was after the show. He's just like.
But, you know, it's like a little lotion would go a long way. Even if you have lived a rough life to soften your hands.
And he had just come back from a trip to New York City where he got to hang out with Anderson Cooper. And he saw Anderson Cooper get kissed by his boyfriend.
Aww.
He's the only person I know that's seen Anderson Cooper get kissed.
On the lips. And his boyfriend's really hot.
I would think it's on the lips.
Really,
you got to
really
hang out
hot.
With him and Alan Cummings, and who else was at that party?
Liza
Minnelli and Cyndi Lauper showed up.
Cyndi Lauper showed up dragging Liza Minnelli to the party. Mm-hmm. And Liza was like, oh, we're going to meet the crown prince of India, the gay guy. Oh, where are you? Oh, let me give you a bit. And so the both of them are like squeezing their bodies on top of him, mm-hmm. trying to give him lots of kisses. And he's like, he doesn't know who these women are.
He knew who Cyndi Lauper was because he knew the song Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
Barely.
He didn't know who Liza was.
He barely knew who these women were. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure he wasn't like instantly going, oh, it's Cyndi Lauper. No, he's just like, who are these eccentric American women?
He plays
women?
Girls Just Want to Have Fun on the sitar, he told me.
Really?
Yeah.
You're lying. He does not
I
play girls.
Fall for
girls
it.
Just want to have fun on the sitar. But listen, the interview is phenomenal. We talked extensively, jokingly and seriously, about his life in India and Indian culture and religion from the perspective of a very unique person. And yeah. we answered all those questions like, why do they do the dots and those lines on their foreheads?
Tell us about the, what's the Harajuku, not the Harajuku girls, the Haridi girls, who are basically their men that just, they chop it all off down there. They don't get vaginoplasty.
Hijra.
They don't get vaginoplasty. It's not just castration of the nuts. It's everything goes.
The Planet of the Apes god Hanuman, why is he a monkey? Why do they worship a monkey? Who is the anti-gay god? Mm-hmm. It's fascinating. Like when gay people in India are going to become ex-gays, like in America, they say Jesus helped cure them. Who in India are they praying to cure them of their homosexuality?
And you can find that later on this week.
That's on Feast of Fun. Mm. So we want to thank you guys so much for listening to today's show. We hope we didn't
spoil anything
for you. But
we held back on who the Miss Congeniality was.
Yes, even though we pretty much
spelled it out. It's no surprise at all.
Yes.
Everybody knows.
It rhymes with...
Mary Zidotes and Dozy Dotes and Little Lambsy Divey. We'll just tell you there.
That does not rhyme with that. Oh, yeah, it does.
Duh. Yes. Hey, I want to remind folks that we have Hunty t-shirts on the website at feastoffun.com/store. Get yours today.
Is Hunty a school?
It sure is.
The library's open. Time to start reading. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Hunty, I think the dean wants to see you about your grades.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think it's on a sliding scale. Thanks so much for listening. Oh, where can you get these t-shirts?
I just had a feastoffun.com/store.
Say that slow. I don't think people...
Feastoffun.com/store.
All right, hunties. Thank you so much for listening. We think you guys are all wonderful people. You are the greatest audience in the world. And may the best woman win. Tomorrow, we will talk about the winner and go talk about a breakdown of all the themes and ideas and issues that were brought up in this season of RuPaul's Drag Race. And then we shall not speak about the show again.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.